Christian Parenting.
Welcome to the Living Wholehearted Podcast. We are Jeff and Tara Mattson, a husband and wife team who is shrinking the integrity gap in our own lives and helping others do the same. I'm a leadership and organizational development coach, and Tara is a licensed marriage and family therapist.
We believe that if you have a following, you are a leader, and how you lead matters. Whether you are leading in the home, work, or community, we are bringing you biblical, clinical, and relational wisdom to help you in every relationship that matters most to you. None of us do this perfectly, but we are leaning into the reality of our humanity and profound wisdom of grace.
Resolutions. But according to a study in the Journal of the Clinical Psychology, after 6 months, over half had given up. As a licensed counselor who specializes in mental health and emotional health, Deborah Folletta knows that to achieve effective, long-lasting change, you have to know and understand what is happening on the inside. And in her new book, Reset, Powerful Habits to Own Your Thoughts, Understand Your Feelings, and Change Your Life, Folletta walks readers through 31 powerful and sustainable practices that will reset the way things have been done in the past in order to dive beneath the surface and bring insight into your thoughts and your feelings, ultimately changing your life. Deborah's popular relationship advice blog, TrueLoveDates.com, still reaches millions of people each year in the messages of healthy relationships. It's so good to have you with us again, Deborah.
It's so good to be here.
Well, I love being able to talk counselor to counselor.
Yeah.
So if you're listening, sit back and we're going to have a really good talk about how to address your habits, less about habits and more about what's happening under the surface, more of the root change. But talk a little bit before we dive into the details of your book. What was going on in your life that got you wanting to write this book?
Yeah. You know, I would say it's a combination of what was going on in my life and also what was going on in our country. In 2021, I released a book called Are You Really Okay? And it was kind of asking that question to challenge people to really get to the root of how they're doing. You know, we can easily say I'm doing well and I'm okay, and we're really not doing okay. And so what was interesting about that is so many people started sharing the fact that they weren't really doing okay and they didn't really know what to do about it. It's one thing to acknowledge, you know what, I might not be doing so well, but now what? Now what do I do about it? And so we started this journey of talking about our mental and emotional health and what's going on underneath the surface. Now, fast forward a couple years, right? We're in 2022, 2023, and people are still struggling. There are still things that are coming up to the surface of their lives that they don't know how to deal with. And what was interesting is some people who actually survived through 2020 and got through it are finding now in 2022 and 2023 that all of a sudden they're not doing so well. And it was confusing. It's like, wait a second. I thought I got through that hard stuff. Why am I struggling now? Why are these addictions popping up? Why is my relationship conflict so strong? Why are we on the brink of divorce? Why am I getting triggered by all of these things now? I thought I got through the really hard year that our entire world was in chaos and I got through it. And I think it was just such a reminder for me as a counselor, and something that you know to be true is that trauma lingers. And trauma comes up to the surface of our lives sometimes in the most unexpected times, because it comes up when life is safe and secure. It comes up when it's invited to come up because there's not so much going on that we're in survival mode. And now it's like, oh, okay, survival mode is over. So now you're going to have to deal with me. Now you have to deal with the trauma. And so I found that, you know, as we're kind of going through life, now that people were starting to feel secure and settled and maybe start believing that all of the chaos was behind them, the things they never dealt with started coming up to the surface. And so this is kind of where Reset was birthed out of, this idea that we all have things going on underneath the surface of our lives that we need to deal with. And they come up sometimes at the most inopportune times, but when they do, it's an invitation for us to face them and start doing things differently, start to actually heal from the inside out.
I love that you're framing it as an invitation. It's so true. Deborah, you've probably heard this before, but I have a lot of people in the seasons of their 40s or their 50s, they're launching their kids and they're so filled with shame. Like, why am I still working on this? Or why now? And it's often that piece of what you're saying is because now life, the stressors of raising your kids and growing your career are kind of behind you and you now have more margin.
Yeah.
To actually address those childhood wounds and trauma that's been lingering. So it's very true for all of us. So to be patient with those seasons where it's all hitting the fan.
Yeah.
But the invitation that you are saying is the time
is now. And oftentimes we see it as a bad thing. It's like, why am I struggling with this again? Why is this back in my life? Why am I struggling with this for the very first time? And it's not that you're backtracking. It's that God is inviting you into a deeper level of healing. God is entrusting you with a deeper level of healing. God is revealing things, maybe for the very first time, maybe again, that need to be healed. And so it's not actually a bad thing that you're out of survival mode and now you're in a season that you're able to do the work and do it well.
So good. Okay. So we already talked a little bit offline about how this is a book that's different than most habit setting books. And it's because you're addressing the deeper roots that need to be pulled. So talk about your theory of change and what you really think is required in order to have long lasting healing and change in people's lives.
Yeah. I think about a car I had when I was in college that really kind of describes this idea of change. I drove this car that was quite a lemon in college. It was constantly breaking down at the worst times. Kind of like trauma comes up at the worst times. This car was breaking down at the very worst times. The worst was finals morning. I'm rushing out to my car. It's like a cold December day. I'm getting ready for my final exams. I hop in my car. I'm already late. And next thing you know, I put the key in the key cylinder and the entire key lock comes out onto my key. And then the car alarm starts to blare and then the windshield wipers start to go. And I'm like, this car is atrocious. I had to drive to my final exams with the windows down, with the alarm blaring. And it was just one of those cars that was constantly breaking down. So I could have dealt with all of those external things. I could have muffled the car alarm. I could have duct taped the windows closed. I could have taken off the windshield wiper so that they stopped, you know, going back and forth. But ultimately, what I really needed to do is get underneath the hood and figure out what was going on underneath the surface that was causing this car to constantly act up. And when I finally did that, I realized there had been some wires crossed. A friend of mine had worked on this car years ago and crossed some wires, and now there was all of these electronical issues. But it took me quite a while to get to that point where I was finally like, it's time to do something about it. And I think what we do often as human beings with our behavior is we see these external things that we don't like about ourselves. Maybe we're gaining weight. Maybe we have an addiction of some sort. Maybe we're acting in rage and anger. Maybe we're having relationship conflict. And we try to tweak the external behaviors, shifting our external habits, quote unquote. Maybe we go to bed earlier. Maybe we clean out our pantry and get a gym membership because we want to lose the weight, but we're not actually getting underneath the hood to figure out what is going on to cause this to begin with. And so this is why I really believe New Year's resolutions fail, is because we're so focused on external changes, external habits, when really the most life-changing patterns and habits and practices are internal things. So this book starts you on the inside out. It helps you begin to assess your thoughts and beliefs, really start to tune in to your feelings and what they might be telling you, looking for patterns of why you do what you do, underlying motivations, Because when you start to adjust the things on the inside, why you do what you do, it begins to change things on the outside. I think of Paul in the scriptures when he wrote, I keep on doing what I don't want to do. But if you back up right before he says that, he says, I do not understand why I keep on doing what I don't want to do. And I think that phrase, I do not understand why, is the key to why we keep repeating certain habits. It's because we don't understand. We don't have insight into why we're doing what we're doing. But when we finally have insight and awareness, it changes everything. And I really believe this is a biblical pattern, not just psychological. If I had to summarize this book in one verse, it would be Proverbs 20, verse 5, which says, the purposes of a person's heart are like deep waters, but a person of insight draws them out. Our motivations, why we keep doing what we don't want to do, is like deep waters. But God wants to help us draw out the waters of motivation and intent and understanding. The Bible says a person of insight. When we begin to have insight and understand why we do what we do, we begin to heal internally and externally. And so this book is all about practicing insight, having those internal habits and practices, that understanding that truly begins to change us from the inside out.
I love that. Your car analogy is so great, and kind of continuing that word picture of just a lot of the things we tried to do, the going to the gym, the doing a deep clean in our closets, all good things, but it's like the duct tape.
Yeah.
So the invitation is getting under the hood. Speak to the person who's just like, I've been doing this forever. I've been under the hood and I've been doing therapy for a long time. These are the clients that come to me, Deborah, who have been like, I've been to 8 therapists. Mm-hmm. I've been doing this work for a really long time and I still keep doing that thing. What do you think's going on for them who maybe they know why they do what they do? They understand that the wires are crossed. What would be the next place that you're inviting them to go to?
You know, I have a hard time believing that, to be honest with you. I don't think we need to live under the hood. I really don't. And I believe that when we do go underneath the surface in the right way, with the right person, and get to the root and solve the problem, we'll start to see change on the outside. I don't believe that you go to a mechanic for the rest of your life and just kind of live there in the knowledge that the wires are crossed without doing anything about it. And so I would challenge that person and say, okay, you know what? How much of this is about you and your willingness to do the work? How much of it is about you need to find a counselor who's willing to push you to do the work? Because you should start seeing change and healing. And if you're not, to me, that says that something with the work that you're doing isn't effective. And for sometimes that means you're not doing it effectively. Other times it means you need a counselor to help guide you in a better way. But I will tell you, my approach to counseling isn't for you to live in counseling for the rest of your life. My approach is to help you get to the roots quickly and efficiently, bring them to the surface, begin to do things differently, and start to see long-lasting change. I've seen that in my life. I've seen it in the life of my clients. So I don't believe that there is anybody out there who is hopeless, anybody out there who's quote-unquote tried everything. I do not believe that. I really believe when we do it the right way, when we start to do it differently, like I talk about in Reset, things begin to change.
Yeah. So you're saying that maybe it's about the kind of mechanic maybe they went to and wasn't approaching the looking under the hood in the right way, in a way that would really be a catalyst to real change. One of those key pieces that we know from all the research from Dr. Siegel, Dr. Kurt Thompson talks quite a bit about this, and in the power of being known, And what those scriptures you're referencing to is really that understanding transforms when we are being known and letting somebody else in, but also understanding being known by ourselves. Yeah. We live in such a fast-paced culture. So I love that you're inviting people to slow down, and it takes some effort and time to really look under the hood. Oftentimes our language as counselors is trauma and triggers. You're just firing off. There's things that are happening all over the place. Talk a little bit about one of your approaches and how you help clients with their traumas and their triggers. So they know their story, they're understanding the why.
Yeah.
Give some tools from here.
I find the word triggers to be overused and used in the wrong way in our culture and society. Like, everything triggers everybody these days, you know. every hint of emotional discomfort is considered a trigger. And not only that, the way that our society handles triggers is just to kind of block them out. You see trigger warnings and it's like, oh, I better not go there. You're in church and a pastor says something that triggers you and you decide not to go to that church anymore. You read a book and it triggers you. You decide to put the book down, stop watching that movie, stop interacting with that person, cut them out of your life. Like, we want to cancel and block out anything that triggers us. And I do believe there is some wisdom to protecting ourselves, but I also believe that it's less about the thing that triggered us and more about the belief we have about the thing that triggered us. And what I've really learned and what I help my clients lean into is the fact that triggers are a gift. Triggers are God's way of revealing to us what needs to be healed inside of us. Triggers are a sign that God is not done working in our lives and we have more healing to receive. You know, I like to talk about triggers as if they're what I call emotional sore spots. There's these little sore spots. It's like a black and blue spot in our life that's been living there. And maybe the person in front of us didn't cause it, but they're pressing on it. You know, I had a black and blue mark the other day and I was leaving the door and I was in a rush with my kids and I hit my shoulder on the coat rack. Ouch. And it left a black and blue mark. And later that day, my husband came to give me a hug. And he kind of pressed on the trigger and I reacted like, oh, you just hit that sore spot. He didn't cause it, but he revealed it. He pressed on it. And sometimes when we live isolated lives, we don't feel any of those triggers. It's like, well, I'm just not going to see anybody, read anything, look at anything. You know, like if I live in a bubble, I won't be triggered, but I also won't have the opportunity to be healed. I also won't have the opportunity for my hurts to be revealed. Because that's what God wants to work on. He wants to reveal the sore spots in our life so we can start doing something about them. And so I feel like it's actually a gift when things are revealed. It's like, okay, what is this revealing? What do I need to heal from? How do I need to process this wound and tend to it? And so we can, instead of being afraid of triggers or trying to avoid them, we can begin to lean into them and open our eyes and hearts to what they might be revealing to us that really needs to be healed.
It's a great word picture and a perfect example of triggers, and that your husband didn't cause the bruise. But at the same time, part of the process isn't cutting him out of your life, is to your wisdom, but is maybe using your voice a little bit in the process till it heals, to say, hey, can we do a side hug instead? Or there's this process we guide clients through that it's a slow and steady shift in experiences for you, advocating, being able to use your voice, but not cutting everything out and avoiding everything, which is a huge symptom of post-traumatic stress disorder, where we see people canceling all over the place. So I appreciate you pointing out the fact that it is overused, especially with the younger generation. That is kind of the language of the Gen Zers. I would love for you to be able to talk a little bit more about maybe some few more tips on habit changes. So we're going to get under the hood. We're going to take some time to really understand why we do what we do, our belief systems. We're going to be open to triggers, those black and blue marks, and to go, I wonder what is originally hurt me and how can I advocate for healing here? What would be some other next steps or some habits that you're bringing into the equation?
Well, let's start with the very first habit. When you open the book, out of the 31 habits, you start with a habit that says pause. And I think it kind of throws people off because it's like the introduction pumps you up. You're ready to go. You're ready to change. Okay, it's time to do it differently. I'm going to reset. I'm going to look at my default patterns and start doing it differently. Here we go. Practice number one, pause. And it's like, wait a second, you know, like you're just like stifling my rhythm. I'm about to go and you're telling me to pause. But I really believe it's because we don't have the opportunity to heal because we don't have the opportunity to pause. We don't stop and really think through what we're feeling and what we're thinking. We just, we're in autopilot mode. We don't stop and observe. We don't stop and look at our lives objectively. We just live subjectively and we're go, 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 fast pace, hustle, grind, work, accomplish, achieve. We don't really have pockets of silence, pockets of solitude, opportunities to tune in to what God is saying and doing and tune out of everything else. In fact, if you were to ask me, Deborah, what's the first thing I think you think I need to change in my life? I would say, I don't know. Don't ask me, ask God. God knows you better than anybody else. And how often do we stop and align our hearts with him and say, okay, Lord, like, where do I need to change? Maybe I think it's my weight, where God's like, actually, no, it's your pride. Let's start with that first. It's not just about the list of things I want to change. It's about the list of things that God is seeing that he's like, this is where I want you to begin. This is where I want you to focus. And we don't really get an opportunity to align our heart with his until we pause and have insight. And it takes work to actually build that into our life where we're tuning everything else out. So at the end of each practice and reset, the end of each habit, I have you do a practical activity. And for the first practical activity, it's turning off your phone, finding a quiet location, turning off the TV, all the noises, all the sounds, and sitting in a chair for 10 minutes. Just getting comfortable with 10 minutes of complete silence and being observant of how intrusive your own thoughts are, or the worries or the to-do lists or the things you've got going on in your mind, how quickly your mind wanders, being aware of what you're tuning into, being aware of all the things you have to tune out. 10 minutes doesn't sound like that big of a deal, but I can't even tell you how many people have reached out to me and said, that is so hard. Like they can't even believe how infrequent 10 minutes of silence is in our day and age with all of the devices, with all of the text messages and scrolling and podcasts and radio. It's just 10 minutes of silence is really difficult to achieve. If we can't even have 10 minutes of silence a day, how do we expect to be people of insight and awareness and understanding, people who are in line with the heart of God? I mean, even Jesus had to step away from the noise to align himself with God. And so I just feel like even that in and of itself is a practice where we really need work. We really need effort and energy to tune out what's going on around us and tune into what's going on inside of us.
I so want to ditto that. It is a really hard discipline today. And I do something called pause. So I love that you use that term, but it's a contemplative prayer day. It's just from 9 to 2. And it's an invitation. It's a guided day of solitude. So we come together in community, but everybody spends time in quiet, but it's meant to be the practice. And because we're in community, there's some accountability and I'm guiding that time. But there's so many people who come dreading it. And I'll tell you, Deborah, by the end, they can't wait for the next one. There's something that's starving inside of us for that time. Sometimes we're afraid because we're not sure what God might say or what might bubble up that we can't seem to put back on the shelf. But the reality is that there's healing in that pausing. So I love that that is your first invitation. Okay, so take us further. We've now paused. We're all practicing 10 minutes. What would be one other? Give us a teaser, one more.
Let me look through here and tell you what my favorite one is. I will skip to practice 14, which is called Like a Child. And it's all about healing from childhood wounds. When Jesus says, let the little children come to me. You know, I've always read that verse and kind of imagined all the little kids. I imagine my kids, I have four little kids, and I just imagine Jesus extending a hand to them and saying, you belong here. But as I was reading that passage in the middle of writing Reset, I just imagined my childhood self, my 8-year-old self, my 8-year-old anxious, OCD kind of controlling, like I just have to make sure to keep myself safe so something bad doesn't happen self. And I imagine Jesus saying, let little Deborah come to me. Like there's a place for your childhood wounds at my feet. And you know, in this work as counselors, we know that it is so easy for us to default and live out of a place of childhood wounds instead out of a place of maturity. We live out of places of pain instead of out of places of power that God intends for us to have through his spirit and through his healing and through his forgiveness and by his strength. And so I just really felt led to write a significant section about what does it look like for us to acknowledge some of those childhood wounds that might be making their way up to the surface of how and why we do the things we do? And what does it look like to invite Jesus into those places? I work with all kinds of leaders and pastors and senior pastors and just very high capacity people in the counseling office. And it's amazing to me how often many of them are struggling with bad habits, bad behaviors in their life because of unhealed childhood wounds. I think sometimes we think when we come to Jesus, all of that is just going to be erased. The past is gone. The old is gone. The new has come. You know, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. Paul wasn't talking about his childhood trauma. He was talking about his victories, his accolades, his successes. And saying, I don't boast in those things anymore. Those things are all behind me. He wasn't talking about his wounds and his hurts. In fact, Jesus is inviting us to save that little child, to rescue that little child, to redeem that little child, so that that little child is no longer running our lives, right? Underneath the surface of our motivation. And so to me, the practice of going back and dealing with some of those hurts is such a powerful and important practice for us to be mature emotionally and spiritually today as leaders, as caregivers, as Christ followers. And so throughout Reset, you'll find these practices that maybe don't look typical, not typical habits that you're used to seeing. Like I said, it's not just about your schedule and your structure and your calendar and waking up earlier and doing more. It's about much deeper work than that. But I really believe when we start there, it seeps into our external behaviors. We start to become in tune with our motivations. We start to become in tune with our beliefs and where they came from and how they developed and how they're impacting the way we feel and how our feelings are impacting the things that we do. If I had to leave you with an equation for healing, it's the acknowledgement that your thoughts lead to your feelings. And your feelings lead to your behaviors. And once you're in tune with all three of those components and you can align them with God's truth, you begin to heal in a long-lasting way.
Thank you for that wisdom, Deborah. And I think it brings a little hope and encouragement. I love that you said earlier, there's nothing off the table here. And even if we felt like we've been trying and trying, to try a different way, to try a different way is the invitation. And this can be scary for some, but honestly, it's liberating in the end. So encouraging you to pick up this book, maybe spend some time reading it, and then join me on September 22nd for our pause retreat. We do those quarterly. You're welcome to join us anytime. You can go to livingwholehearted.com to find out when those are. They are in Oregon. So if you live somewhere else, it's quite a flight for a day retreat, but you can find a place to pause anywhere in your own community. That is a beautiful new habit to spend time reading this book, maybe going through some of these habits. Deborah, before we go, I'm thankful for you, the work you're doing, and the invitation you're inviting, particularly believers and like us working with high capacity leaders. We need to do this work so that we can be able to show up present and fully mature, but just healthy. Leave us with one last word of encouragement. Just something that you feel like God's been speaking to you lately that you want to say to those who are listening today.
You know, I want to talk to those of you who feel like something is coming back up to the surface of your life that you thought you dealt with. You know, maybe it's a pornography habit. Maybe it's anger and rage in a way that you're like, why am I doing this again? Why am I talking to my spouse like this? Maybe it's irritability or apathy. Whatever it is that's coming up to the surface of your life, I want you to see it as a symptom and as a signal, not as a setback. I think oftentimes we do get discouraged and frustrated. Like, I thought I was a strong Christian. Why am I struggling with this again? Why is this in my life? And we start to kind of fill ourselves with shame. But shame moves us away from God. What moves us closer to Him is gratitude. So instead of feeling ashamed that we're struggling, what if you were able to look at this struggle with gratitude and say, thank you, God, that you've brought this up to the surface of my life at the right time, in the right way, because you trust me to heal. You're entrusting me to dig deep and do a deeper level of work for the future that you have planned for me. Thank you, God, for exposing this struggle to me and for exposing it to those around me. This doesn't reflect a setback. It reflects a signal that there's something underneath the surface that you want me to heal and deal with. And I thank you, God, for revealing it in this time and in this way. And I take the invitation to go deeper with you. And so I just want to reframe that for those of you who feel ashamed of all these things that are coming up that maybe nobody knows about. You know, maybe the people closest to you don't even know about them. And what you do with what comes up is the most important work. And so I just want to encourage you that maybe this is a season of deeper healing than ever before. And I encourage you to lean into it with everything you've got.
Thank you. Such a good word. Now, if someone wants to reach out to you, Deborah, how can they find you and continue to lean into the resources you're bringing?
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. The best way to find me is through my website, deborahfileta.com. You can find my books, podcast, counselors network. I also spend quite a lot of time on Instagram, Deborah Fileta as well, F-I-L-E-T-A. And I love connecting with you, and especially for those who are in leadership roles, like you can't be the top of the totem pole, put it that way. And it is so helpful to have people who are pouring into you as you pour into others. And it would be our honor and privilege to help you on that journey.
I love it. Deborah has been a co-laborer in the same work, working with high capacity leaders and helping move from toxic to healthy relationships in all the places that matter most to us. So lean into her resources. She's on the East Coast. We're over here on the West Coast. We've got you wrapped around
I love it.
Wherever you are at. And if you are continuing to join us each week and want to learn more about Living Wholehearted, you can go to livingwholehearted.com. You can also check out all of our resources on social medias as well. All the things that were mentioned today will be in the show notes. And I am just so grateful. Thank you, Deborah, for your time today.
Thank you. Thank you for what you do, your heart for healing, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's been so good. And before you move on, maybe pause, practice 10 minutes, and then we'll hopefully connect with you next week.
This podcast is powered by Living Wholehearted, Courageous Girls, and the Christian Parenting Podcast Network. thank you for joining us in this critical movement of shrinking our integrity gaps between what we preach and live.